Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of This or That podcast. This is Britt.
And this is Brie. This week is very exciting because, as many of you know, I usually lead all of the podcast episodes, but Brittany is going to be taking the mic over this week and leading a very important discussion that I'm excited to get into. But before we do that, we got to catch you guys up on entertainment. You know how it goes here at This or That. So Britt, what do you tell us?
So what have you been watching?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
So I'm still watching Vampire Diaries. I'm mid-season 6, and I'm really into it. I actually was just watching it with Dad all weekend, and he likes it too.
Nice.
But I watched a new movie that actually is in the new movie. I watched Adrift. Have you watched that movie? It's like with Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have watched it, yeah. Actually. I don't know how I felt about it.
Well, I just watched it for the first time. And it has me feeling some type of way.
Okay.
But I highly recommend. I think it's new on Netflix. So I definitely recommend that people go and watch it. And then maybe you'll understand why I'm just feeling some type of way about it. But I will say it was a good movie. I was entertained the entire way through, and I'm happy that I watched it. It's a true story.
It is a true story. I was okay with it. I think the previews made it more exciting than it actually was, at least for me. But it was okay. Okay. It's just one of those things where when you're done, you don't feel good or bad. You're like numb.
Yeah. Totally.
So,
what have you been watching?
So I kind of stopped watching Vampire Diaries, which I'm a little upset about because I'm in season 7 and it's taking me forever to get through season 7 because they've lost my interest. And it's kind of one of those things where they're just like going off on something that it's like I can't follow it. I've lost interest. I have to force myself to watch it. The characters I normally love are annoying me. So I'm taking a break.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I felt with season 5. I took a little break watching season 5 because of Klaus. Like, if you guys watch Vampire Diaries, then you know about Klaus. And I knew how that narrative was going to end. And so I was just, like, not interested in the in-between.
Yeah. Makes it hard when you know what's going to happen.
But I'm back into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Siesta Key wrapped up for this season.
Yes, and they did a reunion for the first time.
They did, and I don't know how I feel about it. I was kind of okay with it, mainly because there was a lot of shocking things that were told.
Yeah, specifically with Brandon. And,
Madison.
Well, yes, but I think the thing with Brandon is what stuck with me the most, and I think the perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I agree. We'll spare you the details for spoiler alert purposes.
I was just going to say, if you guys watch the reunion, you know that Brandon has some crazy things going on in his life, and he's not doing the best mentally, and they kind of talked about that, and that fits perfectly with what we're going to be talking about today.
Indeed. Should we jump in then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, for those of you that don't know, September is Suicide Prevention Month. And the day that you are hearing this, September 6th, is actually the start of Suicide Prevention Week. So all week, September 6th through 12th, is Suicide Prevention Week. And so you're going to hear a lot of stuff this month about, or I hope you hear a lot of stuff about, suicide prevention, about mental health, about awareness, and just bringing light to what's really become a public health crisis. So this is something that Brie and I decided to talk about because it's something that's very close to our hearts and something very personal to our family. So we thought that we would share information and resources to you guys, and as you know, we're both pretty big advocates on mental health and starting those discussions, so we thought this would be a good topic. So to start it off, for those of you that don't know, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. the 10th leading cause of death. And yet it's something that people don't even feel like they can talk about. So in 2018, I'm going to throw some stats at you guys. So in 2018, over 48,000 Americans died by suicide in 1 year. That same year, there's an estimated 1.4 million suicide attempts. There are over 132 suicides per day in the United States alone, just in the U.S. So to give you an idea of how big this issue is, those are stats from 2018, so 2 years ago. So with that in mind, I also want to take a moment to talk about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, or you may have heard of AFSP. And what that is it's the leading nonprofit organization in the fight against suicide. And their mission is to bring hope to all of those people who are affected by suicide. And really what they do is they strive to create a culture that is smart about mental health by engaging the public through four essentially core strategies. And those are research, education, advocacy, and support. And so to give you guys a little bit of background, we lost our cousin Brian to suicide in 2008, which seems like so long ago. And that is when around then I became involved in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention after our family had that loss. So it's been about 9 years that I've actually been involved. And I heard about the Out of the Darkness community walks. Actually, one of my friends messaged me and was like, I know you lost Brian. Have you heard of these walks? They're community walks. They're free to participate. There's one in Denver if you and your family want to go. And so I started looking into it and I realized that there was one walk in the state and it was in Denver. And at the time, I think it was actually at Highlands Ranch, and it was geared mostly towards the high school. So the Highlands Ranch High School, it wasn't really even a community walk yet. So I then went to their website and started looking around more, found out that they had community walks, and I reached out to like their contact page and just simply, I'm that person, but I just like reached out and asked, hey, is there anything else going on in the state of Colorado with this? And is it possible to start, to get a walk out this way? And at the time I was in Northeast Colorado, which if you're not aware, it's a very rural town, pretty conservative, very hush-hush on mental health and suicide prevention, in my opinion. So they responded to me actually pretty quickly, asked if they could call me. I agreed, thinking they would just give me information on here's all these other places that you can go to. And they actually asked me to chair a walk, so to start one out in Northeast Colorado. So I did that, and I've been doing that ever since. So this year is actually our 9th year of having an event out in Northeast Colorado, and we fundraise every year. We get people together. We bring resources to an otherwise very rural town that doesn't have a whole lot of options as far as mental health goes. And so we've been doing that, and my family has kind of followed me on that journey. They became involved as well. At first, it was more of a voluntold situation, but since then, they're pretty active as well, and I have joined the board of directors for the Colorado chapter of AFSP, and now I'm sitting as the public policy and advocacy lead for the state. So that's kind of the background of my involvement.
A rock star. Brittany's a rock star.
Thank you. And so, Bree, anything you want to share about how you've participated in AFSP? Or in mental health, in suicide prevention, in anything?
Yeah, I'll admit I haven't been as involved, obviously, as Brittany has. Honestly, I think talking about suicide is still something that I struggle with, as I know many people do, and I struggle with the way that it's perceived specifically in my generation. I think it's almost seen as cool now to flex if you have depression, and I will never understand that. So it's just something that I think Brittany, what she did with the loss of Brian is turn it into something really great, but I still am just like, to be honest, angry. And, like, I haven't gotten to the point where I've been able to do something with it. I'm just still, like, I don't know. I'm definitely one of those people, though, that I will talk to my friends if they're struggling. And I know what to do if they are struggling, what to say, how to be supportive, and who to contact. So that's probably been my biggest contribution. I try to go to Brittany's walk every year. There's been a couple years while I was in college where I wasn't able to come home for it. And I was signed up to do UNL's campus walk. I think it was set in March, but they had to do it virtually. And so we did it virtually while we were in quarantine. But like I said, Brittany's a rock star. And we're all just rooting for her and trying to be as supportive as we can while she does such amazing things with AFSP. But yeah, I think it's important that we talk about just, like, I don't know, like, the stigma, I guess.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think that's where all of this starts, is the conversation. That's where all of this begins. And actually, AFSP was able to partner with some other organizations in creating Seize the Awkward. And if you haven't heard of it, it's basically an initiative to have a conversation about mental health. Everyone recognizes that it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, but it's about reaching out and having those awkward conversations. And if you have never heard of it before, I encourage you to go to the website. It's called seizetheawkward.org. And it basically gives you some tools on how to approach these conversations and kind of like do's and don'ts, things to say, gives you ideas of like, here's how you start an awkward conversation. And just know that maybe both of you or the group of you, however you're having that conversation, is going to feel awkward, but it's better than the alternative of not having that conversation. And the more that you have those conversations, the less awkward that it gets, and the less awkward you feel reaching out and asking someone, are you okay? And kind of hounding people like, no, really, are you okay? And sometimes it takes a lot of follow-up and a lot of persistence if you're sensing that someone's in that space, but it's a really good resource. So I encourage you to check it out. And it's got a little bit of humor to it too. The whole campaign is kind of just embracing how awkward those conversations can be, but the goal is to make it so that they're not awkward anymore and that they're common conversations to have. So
yeah. Well, I was going to say, when Brian passed away, I was only 10 years old. And so I think everybody in the family tried to kind of shield it from me and not really tell me what was going on. Like, I know they were just trying to be protective, but I think the fact that they couldn't have an open, honest conversation with me kind of affected the way I see it now. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Because it was, well, first of all, it was your age, right? And so this was probably the first encounter you've had with anyone having mental health challenges, losing anyone that way.
I didn't know what suicide was.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I remember, you know, our family talking about it and acknowledging that we were telling you something different because of your age and just feeling like you wouldn't be able to wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all about those awkward conversations. I will say I think it's gotten a little bit better, and I think that there's a lot of good initiatives out there, especially on, you know, like the federal and state policy level and the advocacy and public policy level. So that's a positive thing. I think it all's just very intertwined, and so many things stem from it that once we start having those conversations, they become more apparent, awareness spreads, people are talking about it. And then the next thing you know, our legislators and our lawmakers are wanting to have those conversations to do their part in what they can so that those numbers change and so that people can get the help they need and they don't have to worry about what people think and how they're going to pay for it and what resources there are. It's all just going to kind of come together.
Yeah, I went to Starbucks this morning and they had a sign outside. I just went through the drive-thru. of all of, like, the numbers you can contact, and they were acknowledging that it was Suicide Prevention Month, and I just don't think you would have seen that in 2008, even in 2010,
right?
You know, like, even 4 years ago. So I think we're definitely making progress, and I mean, I think it's something that schools are also doing a better job acknowledging, and I think we could just get better.
Yeah, I think schools are doing better. We see that a lot. We see a lot of, you know, school campuses wanting to have events and resources available to their students. And, you know, when you lose a friend or a, you know, a school companion to suicide, it kind of rocks the whole school, you know? So schools need to be equipped with those tools, and they need to be educated on those things. And that's one thing that I love about AFSP is, you know, they have so many different programs that they try to implement through their, you know, through
Benji. Is your mail being delivered?
Something's happening. Oh yeah, that's one thing that I love so much about AFSP, in addition to so many other things, but one thing that they really do is they have so many programs available for so many different facets of society. So they have a lot of programs for schools geared at, you know, middle school age, high school age, entering into college age. There's all these programs and educations that these community events raise funds to be able to produce and give back to these communities to do, because we're seeing, you know, so many younger people die by suicide, and mental health affecting so many different age ranges of people. And so we need to be able to provide materials and resources to accommodate all those different age groups. You can't just have one program and show it to everybody and think it's going to be effective. So that's
totally,
that's one thing that I love as well.
Yeah. Our walk. I always just say Brittany's walk, but the, what is it, Northeastern? I never know the direction. Northeastern Walk is coming up on September 12th, right?
It is. So this year's looking a little bit different than past years because of COVID and all the challenges that that has presented. We made the executive decision in the state of Colorado. So our Colorado chapter decided that it would be best to switch all of our other walks aside from Denver Metro, which is our largest walk. We're doing an online experience, and September 12th is our kickoff experience. So we're encouraging everyone to join us on the 12th. There's going to be like a live feed of the walk chairs, myself included, talking, giving presentations, introducing our quote unquote walks. This year there'll be experiences, and everyone can just participate from where they're at when they want. If they want to join during the kickoff weekend, they can. If they don't, then they can participate any day during the month of September and still be a participant for purposes of this experience. So if you're interested, please go to afsp.org/NECO for the Northeast Colorado Walk. Or you can just go to afsp.org/Colorado and go to events, and you can check out all the events that we have statewide in Colorado. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not from Colorado, you can go to afsp.org and find your state and connect with the events that they have going on. So most of our walks are normally during the month of September through like mid-October. And so nationwide, these events are happening during that time frame. So if you're hearing this from a different state, odds are your state will have an event happening, at least one event that you can participate in this year. And most of them are going to be the online experiences. So you'll have a chance to participate when it works for you. If you want to get a team together, you want to get your friends together, if you want to hike while you're doing it, all of those things are options this year. That's kind of unique and awesome this year compared to other years. It's usually just an event on a certain day and it's a walk, but this year is just looking a little bit differently. So kind of cool. It's awesome that we're able to do something statewide and then of course nationwide, so that we're still getting those connections. So check it out, donate, do what you can.
Yeah, and we could put all of that information on our Instagram. I think it would be really cool if there is anybody that's listening to us that is interested in participating with us, because we'll be participating on September 12th. We'll be walking, and like Brittany said, she'll be doing a live event, I guess.
We'll be doing like a live opening ceremony.
Yeah, and so if you're interested in participating, we could put the link for you guys to register to walk. It's free. You could also fundraise money. I think if you fundraise $150, you get a free t-shirt, and all that money goes towards AFSP so they can continue to do all of the amazing work that they do. And you can sign up to walk or participate alone, or you can join a team. Like Brittany said, you can make a team, or I'm sure she wouldn't care if you join ours.
Yeah, you can totally join our team if you're interested. If you go online and register, you have the option of registering as an individual or joining a team or making a team. If you want to join our team, it is BKS. Those are Brian's initials, and that every year that is our team. We have friends and family join. We've had people we don't even know join. So please feel free to join, and I'll reach out to you once you do.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, that's like the AFSP portion that I wanted to share. I mean, there's so much information that you can have on AFSP. I haven't even touched on the half of what we do. And, you know, there's chapters in all 50 states. We do a lot of great work. We work really hard, and so many of us are simply volunteers. We don't get paid for what we do. And so I encourage everyone to go to afsp.org for more information. You can find out ways to be more involved if you're interested, or you can just learn. There's tons of resources, statistics, information. You can find community events. You can learn about education and programming for schools, for your workplace, for the community, all of those things. And you can contact your local chapter and be more involved. So I would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, I was also going to say for people that are in college, because I know we have a large population of our listeners are in college. Specifically at UNL, they have, is it called AFSP, the group for colleges, or do they have a different name?
No, it's still AFSP. They operate under AFSP, but there is a lot of places have campus walks, and so those are in the spring. Community walks are in the fall, and so campus walks are essentially student-led, and they are a group that operate under AFSP. We provide guidance and support, and they basically operate on the school is the touch point for AFSP, and they plan their community or their campus walks. And so it's kind of cool. It's like a mini group of AFSP within the campus setting. And a lot of large universities have them as well. So like in Colorado, CU has one, UNC has one. Kind of depends on the year. If they're able to accommodate a walk or not, UNL has one. So just check that out too, if you're interested.
Yeah, I know that they're always looking for help, and I know that college students are always looking for different ways to get involved, and that's a great one.
Yeah, definitely. And so one reason that we really wanted to touch on this topic is not just to plug, you know, how we feel about AFSP, because there's a lot of organizations out there that do amazing things in the realm of suicide prevention and mental health. But we really just wanted to do like a mental health check-in for ourselves and our viewers, because as you know, COVID-19 has hit all of us pretty hard in one way or another, or in multiple ways. And although it looks, you know, a little different for everyone right now, I think the biggest thing that people aren't really thinking about is the impact that COVID-19, the pandemic, and quarantine has had on mental health. And so now is just as important as ever, if not more important, to really check in on people and to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and to have those awkward conversations. And so we just wanted to really, you know, touch base with each other, touch base with you guys, share resources we have, do all of that.
Love that.
Yeah, so how are you
Where
doing?
Where do we begin?
Right? Do we have enough time?
I feel like everybody in this household and anybody that knows me personally has been waiting for the pin to drop. They have been waiting for me to have my moment where I freak the F out. And that moment hasn't, it's, she's not here.
Well, that's good.
I feel like I've been handling things as best as you can. I've tried to make the most out of it. I'm also somebody, though I am anxious and a little bit anal where I need everything to be planned, I'm also somebody that believes everything happens for a reason. And I feel really lucky to have all this extra time with you guys before I head out to London Town for a whole year. And with the way things are in the world, who knows if I'm going to be able to get a flight back to the States or if you guys are going to be able to come visit me. And so I just feel really lucky that I've had the past 6 months, and I'll have 3 more, to spend at home and with my family and just like taking care of my health. I think my entire family has... We were already doing it before, but I think we took advantage of the extra time at home and have been focusing on our health. And I just feel, I don't know, I can't think of another word. I just feel really grateful for this time, actually.
Yeah, it's been kind of a double-edged sword, right? So it's been really great to have time to like sit back and not have to go out, not have to do anything, kind of reevaluate your life a little bit and be able to switch your focus a little more on yourself than you probably normally would be able to. And I can't stress enough the importance of self-care. So if you haven't gathered already, both Bree and I have struggled on and off throughout our lives with anxiety. I've had depression. And it just kind of comes and goes, and you never really know when it's going to come or go, or how long it's going to stay around. But I truly believe that, one, acknowledging that it exists, and two, taking time to self-care is so important. And so I'm grateful that we've been able to do that. And we kind of all, like living together when we did, our family kind of just did that all together. Like everyone was self-caring for themselves, caring for others, and just like letting us focus on ourselves a little bit. And I think that that made a really big difference on how each one of us handled quarantine.
Totally. I think if we would have been eating junk food and just like hunkering down watching movies, that I would probably be an emotional wreck right now. But I think that since I've been trying to feed myself things that are nutritious. Bree can't talk again. Food that is good for you, and working out, and just like trying to take care of myself. Like I see a difference in my like thoughts and everyday attitude. I'm in a better mood. I'm more positive when things do suck. I can see the positive in it instead of just dwelling in the negative. And I think that eating healthy and working out, specifically working out in ways that you enjoy, like that Peloton bike has literally saved my life. I think doing that is the biggest form of self-care. And I think it can also be seen as selfish sometimes. I think also parents think that sometimes in order to work out or eat healthy, they have to be selfish. But I just think it is so important. If you're going to be selfish about anything, it should be you are selfish about taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's part of the stigma and the problem is people see taking care of yourself or getting help as so many negative things. They see it as selfish. They see it as a burden. They see it as being a problem. They see it. Yeah, they just see it as so many negative things when in reality, I don't understand that. And maybe it's just because of like the work that I've put into AFSP and educating myself on that. And as someone that has experienced anxiety and depression, like the best thing you can do is to take care of yourself and to work your ass off at getting out of that place and acknowledging the strength that it takes to get out of that place and to say you need help and to say I need to take care of myself and this is what that looks like. There is no stronger person than doing that. So I just can't wait for the day that people stop seeing it as a burden, as selfish, as, oh, I should feel guilty because I'm taking the day to focus on my mental health. Like, I'll never understand that. And I hope that someday no one else can understand that either. And we just get rid of all of that completely.
I agree. I think also just simply saying no. I think I have friends that cannot say no to anyone. And I was definitely like this at a time in my life. And I think that I can be like, I can fall into bad habits or old habits, I guess. Where I feel like I can't say no to people, whether that's in work, school, or even personally with if my friends or roommates wanted me to do something, I felt like I couldn't say no. But no dinner, no movie, no event, no party, nothing. If you feel like you need to stay home, go to bed, shower, do homework, whatever it is, there's nothing that is worth sacrificing, like, your mental health. Like, if you go out and then you're stressed out because you're behind on homework, like, was it worth it? I will never understand that.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to prioritize their mental health and the mental health of their friends and family. Like, and there's no one way to deal with that. There's no right way of self-care. There's no right way of getting help. None of that. It's all a learning curve. It's all an experience. And sometimes you have to try a lot of different things to see what specifically you need. And there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that. But I think that it starts with talking about it and it starts with prioritizing it. And that's where everything else falls together.
Yeah. I also think people need to understand that individuals with mental health issues, I don't really like saying issues, but with mental health concerns are not weak just because they might have anxiety or depression or whatever it is that's hurting their mental health. They're not weak. And I think most of my, like, I can remember going through high school where I knew something was off, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be seen as like, oh, there's always something wrong with me, or like, I've had a happy childhood, what do I have to complain about, or any of those kind of things. And I think a lot of people have the same thoughts as I did, but I thought that I could just do it myself, like handle it myself, keep it to myself. But it wasn't until college and being away from home for the first time and certain things that happen to you as you get older, I don't know, whatever life brings your way, I guess. It just got worse. It didn't get better. And I had to admit that I needed help. And that was life-changing for me. The moment I decided to go see a therapist and actually tell someone what was going on and get help and figure out coping mechanisms, my life got 10 times better. And yeah, now absolutely. I currently don't see a therapist, and I'm able to, like, oh, I'm having an anxious day, so I know what I need to do.
Yeah, you learn the tools with your therapist mm-hmm. on how to manage it when you're not able to go see a therapist. And totally. Nowadays, there's so many different ways to get help at your fingertips, which is, you know, I always say that technology is, like, there's so many bad things about it, but there's also so many amazing things about it. And the fact that you can be having a difficult day and be able to get on the phone or a video chat with a therapist to work through that, I think is saving so many people's lives. And I don't think people understand totally. That at all. And I agree with you, you know, what you said earlier with, you know, people feeling weak if they have to admit that they have something going on, or they're feeling off, or they're feeling a certain type of way, or they're just not able to enjoy life the way that they want to, is, I think it's so easy for people to say when they don't have mental health challenges or they don't have those thoughts, to look at someone and just say, oh, you're okay, just don't think about it, or just change your attitude, or go be social, or go do something. And that's the worst thing that you can say to someone, because you have no idea what it's like to have those thoughts, to have those feelings, to rationalize and say to yourself, I know that I shouldn't feel this way or that it's not okay to feel this way, but I feel this way. And it's just so hard to work through that. And so the strength it takes to work through that, it's amazing. The people that are fighting their own feelings and their own thoughts, it's amazing sometimes that people can even get out of bed, you know, and I think that's what people don't understand unless they're going through it. And so I think every single person in the world would benefit from learning about that, whether you have a challenge or not, because odds are someone in your life is fighting a battle that you know nothing about inside them, and you have no idea how crippling that can be in every single aspect of your life.
Totally. I mean, let's get real. We had no idea that Brian was struggling with anything. And like I said, in high school, I didn't tell anybody either. So, just something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And it's, you know, one thing that I learned is, like, it, at least with me, and I don't know how other people are. I know there's other people that struggle a lot more often than me or a lot heavier than me, that, you know, I know people sometimes are just literally crippled by their mental health challenges. And it's not that, you know, there are some people that go to get help and they have all these, they do everything they can to get the help. They see people, they try medication, they do everything that they're being told to do, and it doesn't work. And it's just like trial and error back to back. And I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm thankful all the time that I use my anxiety and the depression that I had on and off throughout my life in a positive way. And I acknowledge that it comes and goes for me. And I'm thankful for that, because it could be every single day of my life and it's not. It kind of comes in phases and waves. And I'm thankful that the first time that I went for help, it helped me, and I didn't have to try different medications. I didn't have to balance all kinds of different treatment programs and all of those things. But there are people out there that don't have that luck. It's years of trial and error, and that I can't imagine how frustrating and exhausting that is, especially when people are saying, well, fine, if you're feeling that way, just go get help.
Yeah.
Well, the if worst that's thing you could all do, you can do.
The worst thing you could do is when, like, somebody's having a panic attack or anything, is tell them to calm down. Oh, you think I should just calm down? Why didn't I think about that? Like, I think it's very important that people learn to be more intuitive and more sensitive. And, I mean, in my opinion, there really isn't a perfect thing to say. Right. But just to try to understand them and be an ear if they need it, a ride to a therapist if they need it, whatever it is, like, be that for them. But never belittle how somebody is feeling, whether they're feeling depression or just, like, having a bad day. Never belittle it. That is one big advice I would say.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree, there's no perfect magic answer to say to people, but there is a way to educate yourself on what not to do and to learn tools to try and talk to people, and maybe you'll get an understanding of that. And I think that everyone would benefit on being a little patient with others, with themselves, and just knowing that there's battles you can't even see on people, or that you would never know they're dealing with. And it would not hurt this entire effing world to just be a little bit nicer and a little bit more accepting of people.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So take that to heart.
Serious talks here on this or that.
Yep. There usually are when, you know, you task me with topics.
Yeah. Have you guys seen a trend yet? Every episode Brittany's been in charge of has been serious topics, which I'm thankful for. No, I'm not making fun of you at all. Like, you bring the realness.
Got to. Someone's got to keep us in check.
I'm just here to talk about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, well, let's not this round.
This episode is hard.
It is hard. The topic is hard. The conversations are hard. So many things to say, yet so many things you can't get out.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I know it's important, but I'm just like one of those, I don't know, Brittany, actually, I've never asked you this. Are you like sensitive to when people joke about mental health? Like even people simply just saying like, I had a bad day, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive about it. And I think I probably wasn't as sensitive about it until we lost Brian and I learned more about it. And, you know, like, Brian isn't the only suicide loss in my life. You know, I had a friend in high school. We've seen celebrities and things. And that, you know, like, Robin Williams bothered me so hard. And of course, Brian completely changed my life with that. He was one of the closest people to me when that happened. And so I'm super sensitive about it. And I don't want to like jump on someone for just saying, like being humorous and saying something that society has kind of always said. But at the same time, I want to use it as an opportunity to educate people because, you know, someone might say that and be joking around and say it to someone who has suicidal ideology. And so someone is literally making a joke about killing themselves to someone who is struggling every day with thoughts of killing themselves. Like that is never okay. And that's something that society needs to be mindful of when, like, there are so many other things you could say that are humorous. That is not humorous. And I'm just super sensitive to it, as is probably our entire family, as is everyone in AFSP. It's just, I don't understand why that's a joke.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm super sensitive to it, too, and I didn't know if I was just being a drama queen, but I take it so seriously. I had somebody close to me in college that constantly, like, she could drop a pen or forget to turn in an assignment, like, these small things that almost mean nothing, and she would be like, I want to kill myself, or kill me, or something, and I just was always like, do you actually want to kill yourself, because we could go get you help, like. I did not think that was funny at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the other things that I'm really sensitive about is the phrase commit suicide. And I know that I've preached that on everyone I talk to, especially my family, because it's such a common term that you hear it all the time. And it's always been that way. It's always been commit suicide. And I don't like fault people for saying it because it has just been a term from society for so long that people don't even realize the connotation they're sending when they say it. But it's such a negative implication when you say it that way. And I think that comes from, you know, when you say commit, you tend to think of someone like committing a crime, doing something wrong. And that connotation has effectively put a negative connotation on the topic of suicide and mental health. And so people are feeling like they're thinking something wrong, they're doing something wrong, mental health is wrong. Instead of saying like, I'm suffering and I need to go get help, they're thinking I have these bad thoughts. I'm like, I shouldn't tell anyone I have these bad thoughts. Just like someone wouldn't tell someone I'm thinking about killing someone or I'm thinking about robbing a bank. Like, you know, those are bad thoughts. And so to put the two together makes no sense. And I can't wait for the day again that that is broken and that society no longer thinks of commit suicide. Instead, they say things like died by suicide, something like that, death by suicide. And the thing that I really want to push is dying by suicide is such a mental health condition. And there's so many factors that go into it. There's no single cause of, you know, depression or suicide or mental health. And so much of it is a wiring makeup. You know, it's not just like someone wakes up someday and says, well, I had a really shitty 5 days, so now I'm depressed and now I'm thinking these thoughts. Like, there is a wiring makeup that happens, and sometimes there's so many different things that lead to it. It's not just one single thing. And so to say, you know, to not treat it the same way that you would like someone died of cancer or died of diabetes or something like that, it makes no sense to me that suicide and mental health would not be in that same category, because it is so, and while it's preventable, so are so many other health related things.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think that made me think of how much I hate 13 Reasons Why. I will say,
yeah, that's a tough one.
Kudos to 13 Reasons Why for the fact that they got people actually talking about mental health and suicide. But the whole premise of the show, like 13 Reasons Why She Killed Herself, hurts me as somebody who lost somebody to suicide. The fact that she was almost blaming people and like listing out reasons why, just like, I can't think of any better way to explain it than just like, it hurt my insides. Like I don't feel good about it, and I don't understand the craze about people watching it. I think that there was good intentions behind it. I know Selena Gomez is the producer, and she herself has suffered with mental health issues, but it's just like, there's not 13 reasons why, and there's not just one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's a million. Yeah. And some you can't even pinpoint, and it's nobody's fault. It's not the person's fault. It's not the person's family's fault. I just hate that.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they would have portrayed more of, like, you know, her mental health aspect and how her struggling with her mental health and the things that happened to her and those specific 13 things, how they played into that. Because I do think, you know, there's no one reason why it is preventable, but there is obstacles that come with that. And there is a whole wiring makeup of your brain that plays into that, but the way that they portrayed it was literally like, well, here's just the 13 reasons, and had those not happened, it wouldn't have happened. And I don't think that's the case. Yeah. I think it would have been more educational to show like how you treat someone matters, especially if they have mental health challenges, and here's the impact that it can have. That should have been more of the messaging as opposed to the way that it was.
I completely agree.
And so just be nice to people. Jeez.
Yeah. If you're watching 13 Reasons Why, I hope that what you got out of it was that you need to be nice to somebody no matter what, and to just be kinder. And I hope that's what you got out of it. But what I saw on Twitter was just people making fun of it. And it's not something to joke about, in my opinion.
Right. I completely agree.
One important thing I wanted to mention, remember to mention in this episode, and it might be a perfect way to kind of wrap it up before we talk about our weekly goals, is the suicide prevention line, or is it the suicide prevention? Suicide hotline? I don't really know what they call it, but the like number just got a 3-digit code similar to 911, so all over the country, there's a 3-digit number you can call now if you or somebody you know is struggling and you need help. It's 988. And I think that's very exciting to have, because it makes me feel like people are finally taking mental health and suicide seriously.
Yes. So they basically, what happened was at the end of last year, the Federal Communications Commission, so like the same commission that came up with 911 for emergencies, put forward a bill to the legislator for a like suicide prevention and mental health crisis line. So just for those issues, that's so like a 3-digit number for that as well, because the 1-800 number, you know, it's hard to remember during a moment of crisis, and it's hard for people to refer someone to that number. Although a lot of people have that number memorized, which is great. And so they moved that bill forward at the end of last year, and that was passed this year. So now 988 is the Suicide Prevention and Mental Health Crisis Hotline for emergencies, like when you're in crisis mode.
Yes.
So that's pretty awesome.
There's also Logic wrote a song with, I think, Alessia Cara, if that's how you say your name, and I also think Khalid is on it, with the like 1-800-273-8255. And I think that really helped people memorize the number. Like, I thought that was the perfect way to spread awareness and be helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's also a good song.
It is a good song. It's really emotional. It's really great. We actually... So I'll just give like a kind of a story. So each year, AFSP has like their national leadership conference, and at being on the board, we get to send a certain number of people to go, and we learn about like where we're at with things, what research is coming, what initiatives we're pushing. It's an opportunity for us to give feedback to the national office on what we're seeing out here in the grassroots and what we need help with and what we want to see. And so it's awesome. So we had one of those, not last year, but I think it was the year before. And we had our conference, and at the end of the conference, we kind of have like a little, like a special dinner and awards banquet. And then we have like an after party type of thing for everyone to get together and stuff. And so we were doing that, and the DJ that was hired asked like, what are you guys here for? What is this? And so we told them, and he started playing that song for us, and everyone that was there, like, you know, 100 people or so, got like in a huge circle on the rooftop and just like was hugging each other and like singing that song outside. And it was so cool and so powerful. And it's just like, our work is so heavy all year, so to have moments like that is so awesome and reassuring. So that that's my little story about that song. But yeah, so I guess we'll leave it as, you know, be kind to one another. And I know that Ellen DeGeneres says that, but it's so true. Please take time if you want to be more involved, look into it. You don't have to just go for AFSP. That's something that we have found we want to be part of, we stand behind, but there's so many different mental health organizations. If you do want to be involved in AFSP, go to their website, find a local chapter near you, see how you can become involved. If you want to reach out to us and get more information, I'm happy to share it. And then just remember, if you or someone you know is struggling, please call 1-800-273-8255 or text TALK to 741-741. And just remember that together we're strong. Getting help is absolutely not a sign of weakness. It is a tremendous sign of strength, and we're here for you and we support you. You're not alone.
Yes, it's okay to be selfish. Take care of yourself.
It is okay. It is okay to not be okay.
Yes. Speaking of not being okay, me and Brittany are doing the 75 day hard. And I have some thoughts. You know, we're talking about taking care of ourselves and being selfish, and I just have some things that I would like to say to whoever created the 75 day hard, because I don't think any doctor, nutritionist, or whatever would recommend the 75 day hard.
Get it, girl. Get it.
I think it's great to have accountability and to start healthy habits, which maybe if you did something every day for 75 days, you would continue to do it after. But it's,
I think that's the point.
But it's not okay to burn yourself out. And I think working out twice a day for 45 minutes is unrealistic and unhealthy if you're also following a diet that maybe has too high of a calorie deficit, or you're following a diet that is not giving you the kind of nutrition you need to burn that amount of calories.
That's fair.
And for me, I just think that if I love challenging myself, and like I said, I'm still doing the 75 day hard, but I've definitely altered it to a point where it might not even be considered the 75 day hard anymore.
Same.
But it's a challenge for me, and I'm proud of myself for doing it. But I just think that doing the 75 day hard, especially if you're starting from like level zero, but at any point, doing the 75 day hard can be unrealistic, it can cause burnout, and just be unhealthy.
Yeah, I agree. So the way that I take it is the 75 day hard as written is kind of for people who are already like super living that life.
Yeah.
I am not. And you guys know that I've been trying the 75 day hard for like 575 days.
Since like March. You should have done it twice by now.
Yeah, I should have. So But that the first time around, I tried following it to a T, and that was instant failure. Well, I did like 3 days, and then I'm like, can't, I literally can't do that. So then I waited to get moved and for you to start it with me. And then we modified it to still challenge yourself. And I think the point is to be mindful of like, these are my goals for the day. I'm going to do all of this. And it's like a mix of things, right? So it's like eating healthy, drinking healthy. You're not drinking alcohol. You're working out as a challenge for you. And then you're reading like a self-help motivational book at the end and you're wrapping all that together. And it's supposed to be 75 days of a challenge that is like transformative in all respects of your life. Sure. Totally here for it. But listen, I ain't working out twice a day. You're lucky if I get once a day with my life. Second of all, the diet thing, I'm trying.
That's and the water.
Say. The water is always an issue for me. It's always going to be an issue for me. I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to get a gallon of water. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not. But I'll try to get 64 ounces.
Well, okay, so I'm going to tell you what I've been doing, and then I'd like to hear what you've been doing. Because like I said, I think I've altered it to a point where it might not even be considered the 75-day hard, but it's hard for me, so we're happy with what we're doing over here. So I tried the first 5 days working out twice, but I wasn't going to limit myself or time myself, I guess, for it to be 45 minutes. I did what I felt like my body needed. And also, I just have like a special relationship with working out. It's something I do to relieve stress and take care of myself and something that I actually enjoy. And I felt like being like forcing myself to work out for 45 minutes kind of put me in a box. And I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I was doing it because I had to, not because I wanted to and felt like it. So I just said, okay, I will work out twice, but it might or it may or may not be for 45 minutes. It is what it is. Also, it is unrealistic to say that I have to work out outside for one of those workouts because like it rained here. And then, like, another day it's, like, really hot, and I'm not going to do that to myself. If I can, I will, but I'm not going to feel like I failed if it's raining and I can't work out outside. I'm drinking a gallon of water, which I'm really happy with. I'm able to do that, and I've been doing it every day, sometimes even more. I will say if you struggle with water, get some lemon, drink some lemon water, or some water enhancers that don't have any sugar in it. That will help, I promise. And I'm not reading a self-help book. I'm reading Twilight because, again, I like to read, and I'm not going to force myself to read something that I don't enjoy. And right now, I want to read Twilight. And I'm reading, so what does it matter what I'm reading if I'm reading? So that's what I'm doing. Oh, but after the 5 days, wait. After the 5 days, I decided what I decided about working out twice. And so I'm working out once, but then like maybe going for a walk or doing yoga later. But like if that doesn't happen, that's okay because I feel good because I worked out once today. And working out every day can also cause burnout.
Right. So the goal is to challenge yourself and set yourself up for like this list of goals every day. I agree with you. Working out twice is not realistic for all people, myself included. In fact, working out once a day is like I'm freaking nailing it.
Exactly.
That's what that is. So I get it. I'm there for you with that. The water, it's not happening. 64 ounces is a push and I'm doing it. The 10 pages of reading. So I'm doing a self-help book type of thing, like career book. So I'm reading like 10 pages of that. And then I'm switching over to Twilight to like, it's like a little nightcap, you know, like what I really want in life. And then I'm trying to follow the diet. I would, in theory, I'd like to say that I'm not drinking alcohol.
I am.
But I just am. And I'm going to continue to.
I was just in Roswell, New Mexico for 5 days and I drank alcohol every day. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm not like drinking to excess all the time. I'm not like doing that. I'm not saying that I'm being a drunk. I'm just saying, like, if I need a glass of wine after a stressful day of work, I'm doing it.
Do it.
And as I think the goal is to challenge yourself.
Sugar.
Right. Yep. Got it. Noted.
All I'm saying is I'm proud of what we're doing. It might not be exactly what we're supposed to be doing, but we're challenging ourselves.
That's the goal.
And making lifelong habits, not something that you just do for 75 days and then never again.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be a challenge, so it's like there's going to be an end game, but the goal is to establish the patterns throughout the 75-day to keep it going. So what day are you on?
I'm on day 11.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What are you on?
13.
Okay. Yeah. We had a weird sister telepathy thing that we do often where we decided to start the 75-day hard together without telling each other that we were doing it. It was like a few days in and we were like, oh yeah, we started about the same time. So I love that for us.
Yeah, that's what we do. So cool. Stay tuned.
Yes, we will definitely update you guys in coming episodes. And I promise this time we're not going to say we didn't do it because we're doing it. But be sure to follow us on Instagram at thisorthat_podcast. And do not forget to like the Facebook page, you guys. Join the talk group. You won't regret it. It's the best decision you'll make. I promise. And it wouldn't hurt if you rated us or left us a comment. We would love if you did that, actually, and become your best friend. Like, we would do that if you did that, but no big deal. I'm not making you do anything you don't want to do. And I feel like, I mean, I know we say this every week, but really encompasses my feelings about this episode, whether you were this or that.
Own it.
Bye, guys.